This is WJJG Elmhurst, Chicago. The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily express the views of WJJG ownership, its staff, or sponsors.
Welcome to Aging Info Radio for caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. We are on every Thursday at 1 o'clock on WJJG AM 1530, Chicago's hometown station. Our show is also streaming live on the World Wide Web at WJJGAM1530.com. If you have missed any of our shows and you would like to listen to them, you can go to our website at aginginforadio.com. We archive our shows, list all of our guests by category with their contact information, and we also show our future guests and more. Aging Info Radio also has a Facebook page. You can click on the like for weekly updates and information. And I am Susa Wacky, your host. I have two expert guests with me in the studio today to discuss hospice, grief, and the path back to joy. These are not pleasant topics, but they are all part of the circle of life. When a hospice nurse walks into the home of a person facing life's most intimate passage, one of the more crucial questions they will ask them is, what are their hopes and fears? This question is at the core of what hospice is about. There is no typical patient at the end of life. Each person is unique, and therefore their care needs to be uniquely tailored, although each patient shares many of the same concerns. And then, the painful loss of coping with losing a loved one is one of life's greatest difficulties. If you have lived through the pain of mourning, you know that any way to ease your pain and loss is welcomed. With the pace of our society, I wonder if we are taking time and allowing ourselves and others the time needed for grieving. And maybe as a society, we do not yet understand or may have even forgotten the importance of this process. My first expert guest today is Miriam Campbell, the Director of Market Development with VITAS Innovative Hospice Care. Miriam has worked for VITAS for the past 2 years. She worked in the pharmaceutical industry for over a decade in many diverse roles such as sales, field support, management, team building, and communications. And prior to that, for 6 years, she also owned her own business. Welcome to Aging Info Radio, Miriam.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be in the studio with us. And would you like to say hello to any of your family, friends, or fans, or those that love and admire you?
I would love to say hello to the love of my life, Nicholas, as well as my family, friends, and colleagues who are listening in.
Well, that sounds great to me. So let's get started with, I'd like for you to explain the basics of what hospice is.
Hospice is a wonderful type of comfort care for those that have life-limiting illness that has progressed beyond a doctor's expectation of a cure. It allows for aggressive pain and symptom management, plus emotional and spiritual support, and hospice truly affirms life. It helps to enhance quality of life and preserve dignity during this stage of life, both for the patient and for the family.
I've learned that there are several types of care provided in hospice. Can you tell us a little bit about the different levels of care?
Sure, I can. First of all, remember that hospice is provided wherever the person with the life-limiting illness resides. So that is home, hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, and hospice inpatient units. There are 4 levels of care. The most common is called routine home care. Because hospice is care that is focused on comfort and the quality of life, care is customized and individualized based on the patient's and family's needs and wishes. So routine care provides a team of interdisciplinary medical staff as well as others, physicians, nurses, home health aides, social worker, and chaplains. Plus, depending on the needs of that patient, a family may also be served by volunteers, as well as physical therapists, respiratory therapists, music therapy, dietitians, and so on. There's so many levels of care in that sense. The next level of care is called continuous care, and this is when a patient experiences a crisis of uncontrolled and severe symptoms. And this provides an extra layer of care with an extra nurse and home health aide for a minimum of 8 hours up to 24 hours a day. The patient remains at home through this difficult time rather than transferring the patient to the hospital. The two other levels of care provided by hospice are an inpatient level of care, either given at a local hospital, another healthcare facility, or a hospice inpatient unit to address the needs that are beyond what can safely be managed at home. And respite care is a care that is a brief respite for the primary caregiver, limited to 5 consecutive days, where the patient is transferred to an institution setting to receive care.
Well, you explained those so great. Now, how does hospice differ from home health care?
The answer to that is this, and first of all, let me state that there is a similarity in that they are both covered under the Medicare Part A benefit. However, the difference is that in home health care, the patient is assumed to be getting better. So that is the goal of care, to increase and get better care. Now, the patients in home health must be homebound, except for short durations, and cannot be followed by the home health agency to the hospital or nursing facility. So that's one difference. There are several others. I may not be able to list all of them, but one other thing that's different about hospice and home health is that hospice allows for a 100% reimbursement rate on medicines related to the primary diagnosis, where home health doesn't pay for those medicines. Also, there may be a copay in home health with medical equipment and supplies, where hospice pays at 100%. Bereavement support and volunteers are not a part of home health. And a patient is allowed a limited number of visits by a nurse or a physical, occupational, or speech therapist in home health, where with hospice, it is unlimited visits to meet the patient's needs for a patient that has a life-limiting prognosis of 6 months or less.
Now, does a doctor have to prescribe hospice for a family to have Medicare cover the cost?
The answer is yes. And let me just quickly tell you two criteria for hospice. One is that a physician certifies that the patient has a life-limiting illness with a prognosis of 6 months or less if the disease runs its normal course. The second criteria for hospice is that the patient or patient's representative agree to a palliative, not curative plan of care. And what I mean by palliative, that means comfort care. Medicare and Medicaid, by the way, cover the cost of hospice at 100%.
For the up to six months?
There is an unlimited benefit period with hospice. So the first 6 months are covered as long as the normal disease progression is expected to be 6 months or less from the physician. However, if, as we do not have a, let's say, a crystal ball to determine specific prognosis in certain cases, for example, Alzheimer's patients, dementia patients, or COPD patients, heart failure patients, it's very difficult sometimes to get exact prognosis. Therefore, when a doctor certifies that a patient has a life expectancy of 6 months or less, hospice will then certify and recertify patients, so Medicare allows for an unlimited benefit.
So actually, private insurance is not involved in hospice at all.
Actually, it is, yes. Private insurance has a hospice benefit typically, and everyone must check with their plan, but certainly we work with many managed care organizations to cover patients on hospice.
So I'm kind of confused here. So Medicare, you said, covers 100%. Why would they need private insurance?
Well, Medicare, of course, is a benefit that is for persons that are 65 years of age or older.
I see.
And so, therefore, someone who is not of Medicare age may have private insurance to cover that. And, of course, Medicaid is another option for those that are insured through Medicaid.
Now, what benefit does a family personally receive from hospice care?
The benefits that family as well as the patient receive are vast. First of all, in order to meet the individual needs to achieve optimum comfort or palliative care, the patient and family receive services from our physicians, nurses, home health aides, chaplains, social workers, volunteers, respiratory therapists, dietitians, etc. And the other very important thing from the benefit is that all medications, equipment, and supplies related to the patient's primary diagnosis for being in hospice are covered, as well as lab and other diagnostic tests necessary to achieve optimum palliative care. There are other benefits as well as, for example, 24-hour support and staff availability to handle things that happen at night. And bereavement support is available for the family after the patient passes.
Now, can a family choose to use the hospice that they want, or if a doctor prescribes it, do they have to go through that hospice?
So, to answer the first question, absolutely. A family can choose to use whatever hospice they decide to do. Now, they may get a recommendation from a physician or from a hospital, but it is very important to understand that it is ultimately the patient's or patient representative's choice as to what hospice they use. And with there being over 100 hospices in Illinois, it's really important to understand that not all hospices are alike in what they offer to patients and families, so it's extremely valuable for families to determine which hospice will best meet their needs.
And what do you feel are the biggest reasons that more families do not use hospice services?
There are so many reasons, but I think one of the biggest reasons is that patients and families have a fear of giving up. And I do want to emphasize that hospice is not a matter of giving up on your loved one. It is a matter of shifting gears to a measure that is palliative in nature, not curative. So if there is no longer a cure for a disease, we can shift our focus to providing excellent comfort care and symptom management in order to enhance the quality of life and preserve the dignity of the patient. The other couple of things that come to mind is there is a lack of information with some, and there's so many places out there to find information about hospice. But the other thing we run into is that caregivers sometimes think that their role is going to be replaced. For example, a spouse that has been married for 55 years may think that hospice is going to replace them as a caregiver, and again, that is absolutely not the case. In fact, we will just add to the care that is giving your loved one. So there are several other reasons, but I think those are some of the biggest ones.
Well, I've also always felt, too, that a lot of it is the lack of the education, that a lot of families just don't really realize the extent of all the services that are provided, and it can be at one of the most challenging times in their life. And I want you to hang on to your words of wisdom there, Miriam. They're really great. And this is Aging Info Radio. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we get back, we're going to find out about VITAS Innovative Hospice Care and why they are an extraordinary innovative hospice care company. I am speaking with Miriam Campbell, the Director of Market Development with VITAS Innovative Hospice Care, and their number is 800-93-VITAS, that's V-I-T-A-S, or 800-938-4827. Their website is vitas.com. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Wait a minute. You're 65, and you're 65, and you are too? You guys are the early boomers. And I heard the senior population is going to increase by 40% within the next 5 years. I believe we are on the forefront of a silver tsunami. Thursdays at 1 o'clock, join Aging Info Radio for caregivers, seniors, and those concerned about their aging journey. Our guests will bring their expertise to topics of interest. If you would like to be an expert guest or sponsor Aging Info Radio, call us at 877-704-1530 or email info@aginginforadio.com. I am Sue Sawacki, your host on Aging Info Radio, WJJG, AM 1530.
Attention wartime veterans and spouses. Are you getting the veterans benefits you deserve? VA pension with aid and attendance pays up to $1,949 a month to help you pay for in-home care or community-based care. Call WealthCare Consultants at 800-213-8469 to determine your eligibility. 800-213-8469 or visit our website at aid-attendance.com. That's aid-attendance.com. WealthCare Consultants is not affiliated with the Veterans Administration.
Americans lost billions in the stock market in recent years, yet investors could have realized gains of as much as 100% without risk had they known about a unique strategy that WealthCare Consultants, located in Oak Brook, Illinois, calls the Silver Bullet. The Silver Bullet strategy safeguards your savings in three ways. First, your principal is guaranteed against loss. Second, your gains are protected against loss. Third, you pay no taxes on your gains. No risk, no taxes. What can be better than that? To learn more, write this phone number down now, 800-213-8469. Call today to schedule your confidential, no-obligation consultation with Timothy Frisby, President of WealthCare Consultants. Once again, that number is 800-213-8469. Call today. You and your money will be glad you did. Bullet strategy safeguards your savings three ways.
Back to Aging Info Radio, and I want to give a shout out to my dad out there who called the studio to let me know that he's listening to our show today. Hello, Dad. Al Billings in Tennessee. It's so nice that you called. And are you concerned about your aging loved one eating healthy and getting the nutrition they need, or are you at work and know you must go shopping after work and then cook for your aging loved one? Eliminate stress in your life and order a week's supply of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating Meals for them. Yes, that is 21 fresh, delivered, never frozen meals. You can visit SeattleSutton.com or call 800-442-3438 where you get a live consultant to assist you with all your questions. Once again, that number is 800-442-DIET or 800-442-3438. That's right. Think healthy. Think smart. Think Seattle Sutton. I'm speaking with Miriam Campbell, the Director of Market Development for VITAS Innovative Hospice Care. And, Miriam, I'd like for you to tell us about VITAS. And I just want to say, when I walked into your Lombard office probably 7 or 8 years ago, you had on your marquee board that you were serving close to 300 families. And I was just awed by it. So how many families in the Chicagoland area do you average serving at a time?
We actually serve in the Chicagoland area approximately 900 to 1,000 patients daily. And nationwide, we actually are serving currently 13,000 patients. It's important to note that we also provide $8.6 million in genuine charity care to hospice patients nationwide, and we take patients regardless of their ability to pay. So in Chicagoland, we spend about $500,000 or more in charitable care.
Wow. So you said that nationally you're also serving. Are you in where are you at nationally?
We are a nationwide company. We're serving 15 states, including Washington, D.C., and we are the nation's leading hospice firm and we are one of the first that was founded in 1978, but we've been in Chicagoland for over 20 years. Hospice at VITAS, we have been a pioneer instrumental in leading the bipartisan effort to add hospice to the healthcare payment system, which led to the Medicare hospice benefit, which was passed in 1982. So we have a very experienced staff and corporate knowledge about hospice.
And then in the Chicagoland area, you have a number of offices, correct?
We do.
How many?
We have four main offices that service much of northern Illinois, and we have several satellite offices. Plus, we have two inpatient units, one at Mercy Hospital in Chicago and the other at St. James Hospital, the campus which is in Chicago Heights.
I see. Now, on your website, there's a thing called the VITAS National Account Department. What exactly is that?
That is a very important part of our team that helps create strategic partnerships with multi-state organizations such as managed care organizations, assisted living and long-term care providers, disease and case management companies, and hospital management companies. One example of this partnership is that we are able to help patients in Illinois under most managed care plans, including Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Humana, Aetna, Cigna, and several others. So that is just one thing that our national account people do.
Well, I can definitely see now, Miriam, why you have such a busy job.
Well, thank you for
yes.
that, and I certainly have been blessed to be a part of serving patients and families.
Now, explain to our listeners what the VITAS Care Team is about.
We have a wealth of experience at VITAS here in Illinois, and the VITAS Care Team is those that are serving our patients directly and indirectly. So we have, as I mentioned before, a team of dedicated physicians, nurses, home health aides, chaplains, social workers, a volunteer staff, as well as several other integral parts of our teams, including our call center staff and those that answer the phones at night to answer any questions about a patient's or family's needs, along with several other aspects of the team.
Which leads me to, you offer an 800 number, so obviously this is 24/7. Now, what would happen? Give me a scenario of somebody called VITAS at 2:00 in the morning. What happens?
First of all, what happens is this. We have a staff of our own employees that answer the phones directly. So this is not a answering service in which you'd have to wait for a phone call back. Then from there, we have a nurse on staff. So depending on the level of the request, if someone is in crisis, for example, that is having increased symptoms, then we can have a nurse go through what might have to occur in order to get those symptoms under control. But also, this nurse can dispatch our staff, which is an on-call staff, dedicated to meeting the patient's and family's needs in the middle of the night, and also make calls to physicians or whatever is needed to serve that patient. Again, you said it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
So people are served no matter what time of day, basically the same way.
Yes.
What would you say is your biggest distinction as far as a hospice? I know there's a number of them out there, but if you had one, I'm going to give you one or two things to say that really sets you apart. What is that?
I think that you're right. There probably may be a few differences that we can talk about. One I just talked about with our call center and on-call staff at night. A couple of things that differentiate us is that we evaluate each of our patients' needs individually in that we take on very complicated patient cases. So what I mean by that is traditionally, several years ago, hospice didn't take patients that might be on a palliative radiation treatment for their cancer or on an IV hydration or IV medications or antibiotics. And in the case where it allows for a patient to have comfort, then that might be appropriate for that patient. So we take on a very complicated patient load and certainly want to individualize the needs of the patient and family. Another thing that we do a little bit differently is we have dedicated teams in order to serve our patients' needs. So I talked a little bit about our dedicated call center and evening staff. We also have teams for our patient care teams. Our continuous care team is separate, as well as our weekend and evening nursing staff. We also have dedication to serving unique needs of subpopulations, including those of veterans, the African American population, the Hispanic and Latino population, and coming March 15th, we are gaining accreditation to the Jewish Healing Network, which will accredit us to serve the unique needs of the Jewish population. Those are just a few things that we differentiate ourselves with.
Now, does VITAS still offer music therapy?
Yes, they do.
I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about this.
Music therapy is a wonderful tool with highly trained music therapists in order to help either reduce symptoms or manage through anxiety and other things. For example, if a patient with Alzheimer's who has loved music in their past but is having anxiety, a music therapist may go in and sit by their bedside, learn from their family what music they like best, and will be able to hopefully calm the nerves of that patient. Another way that a music therapist is used is, for example, with a COPD patient, where a COPD patient many times may have anxiety when they have trouble breathing. And so a music therapist might be able to help them with their breathing rhythms through the use of music. In fact, we had one patient, for example, that the music therapist made a CD for them. And when their electric went out one night, they used that CD to reduce their anxiety because they weren't able to have their oxygen and were able to make it through until the electric came back on. So that's just a couple of examples.
Well, music does make the world go round now, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Now, you have a bereavement support that you offer to families. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I would. We at VITAS offer bereavement support after their loved one dies, and the family is allowed at least 13 months of bereavement support in which they are able to not only have contact with our spiritual support team, but they also are provided with newsletters and ability to attend support groups, attend memorial services, and other such things that will allow someone to grieve in a healthy manner, and if needed, talk to someone.
Now, VITAS calls for volunteers. What is some of the? I know volunteering can make a difference in your life. What type of volunteers do you guys take on?
Oh goodness, we have such a wonderful volunteer team, and they do many numerous tasks. One thing I do need to mention is that we have an extensive training program for volunteers in which they are certified to understand the nature of hospice and understand how they're able to help a patient with hospice. So that is one requirement coming into our volunteer team. But besides that, we have volunteers that are pet volunteers. We have volunteers that do reflexology. We have volunteers that are able to just sit and listen to a patient, for example, someone who's a veteran that might be able to relate best with another veteran. We also have volunteers that make blankets and all kinds of nice, nice treats for our patients and families. So,
how many volunteers do you have currently? Do you have any number? Do you have a number on that?
You know what? I know across the Chicagoland area would have over 100 or so, but I don't have the exact count with me. But we certainly have so many volunteers that are on service, whether it be an hour a month, or we have one volunteer that actually is with us 40 hours a week, so full time with us.
Well, volunteering, another way to give back. Now, we are getting short on time today, and I would like you to give us your tip of the day.
My tip of the day is this. Do not fear hospice. It is a service that enhances the quality of life and preserves dignity. So please seek to understand the benefits early so that you can take full advantage of all of the extra services that are paid at 100%.
Well, thank you so much, Miriam. You have been a world of information. And once again, for my listeners out there, I'm talking to Miriam Campbell, the Director of Market Development with VITAS Innovative Hospice Care. Their phone number is 800-93-VITAS, that's V-I-T-A-S, or 800-938-4827. Their website is vitas.com. And don't go away. This is Aging Info Radio. We will be right back.
Built on a foundation of customer service, Total Parking Solutions, local company with over 35 years industry experience, highly trained and certified service staff. Total Parking Solutions, a proud provider of Calais multi-space parking technology to over 50 communities, transit authorities, and public institutions in the Chicagoland area. Visit us at www.totalparking.net. Proven parking technology to drive you into the future.
In hearing this message, you may be tempted to change the channel, so allow me. Still hearing me? Try again. If you have ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, this is kind of what it's like, since it takes control of your body, making you unable to move. You can't affect your surroundings. You see, hear, feel everything. But if you try to change the channel, nothing happens. You are forced to endure what is in front of you. But by supporting the ALS Association, you can further global research to find a cure and give people the ability to see, feel, and hear the way they were meant to, and to live full lives free of ALS. So even though you have the ability to change the channel and ignore this message, could you go to ALSA.org and join the fight?
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio, and WealthCare Consultants is a specialist in the design of risk-free, tax-efficient retirement plans for its clients. For over 20 years, WealthCare has protected its clients from the devastating losses of the stock market with its silver bullet strategy that protects your money from market risk as well as higher taxes. For a no-obligation consultation, call 630-368-1409. That's right, call today, 630-368-1409. My next expert guest today is Joy Cornelius Klein. And Joy has volunteered and worked in elderly programs in a variety of capacities since she was 18. In 1988, she graduated with a master's degree in gerontology with emphasis on long-term care administration and rural health from the University of Utah. Joy spent time in Thailand consulting on programs focused on elder health and AIDS. And in California, Arizona, and Illinois, she has performed over 800 assessments of chronically ill seniors. Through sharing in the lives of seniors and their families, her passion to be an advocate by providing a roadmap of what to expect on their journey through dementia, aging, and/or dying, she realized where her passion is.
Now, after 20 years of personal poetry and writing and working with the elderly, Path to Joy poetry has came to life, with the emphasis of Path to Joy as a healing grief, loss, and more. And we're going to find out from Joy all about that. Welcome to Aging Info Radio, Joy.
I am so glad to be here, Sue. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me today. And would you like to say hello to your family, friends out there?
I would. I'm very lucky. I'd like to say hello to my family and friends in Oklahoma who are listening right now, as well as my family and friends here in Illinois, and my husband, John, and a special shout out to my dear little Summer Joy, my little girl, who's listening as well.
What a great name, Summer Joy. I would like you to start out to explain to our listeners what Path to Joy poetry is and what inspired you to actually do this.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, I've been pondering, what can I do with my life where I can do what I love without and be on my own, be an entrepreneur? And all of a sudden, it just kind of fell into place. I've been writing poetry for over 20 years just for my own grief and emotions and understanding my own world around me. But what happened is that I kind of got this concept in my head, and then my parents went to the seminar in Oklahoma City by a man named John Fox. He is done poetry therapy for 30 years. And I was like, that's the concept I had already thought about. And so what happened is I started writing memorial poems for the families of the dementia residents in my dementia unit I manage. And I was finding that my poems were helping them get through their grief. And I was like, this is very interesting, because I just wrote it as a gift. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, I can do this all the time and help people in the way I want to help people using my gift of writing poetry. I never would have thought it would ever happen, but it just fell into place, just learning from the people around me, including my dementia residents. Poetry had a very powerful effect on them as well, reading it and writing it together.
Now, back to actually grieving, and I kind of started my show out today about this, but I would like your view on this, Joy. Do you feel families and individuals take time to grieve in our society today?
I think a lot of times families and individuals aren't allowed to grieve in society today. There's kind of this faux pas in America where, well, you've been grieving too long. You need to just, you know, get back to normal now. Get up. Get out of that chair. Go on. Go back to work. Go back, blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, grieving is not about time. Grieving is very individualized, and grieving is something we all do very differently. There are things that I grieve after 20 years. In the John Fox seminar my dad was in, there was a woman whose parents divorced 30 years ago, and she started crying her eyes out after 30 years. Grief is so prevalent. Until we work through it gradually to get to the point of healing, we can't get there, but we have to do it our own way.
Everybody does it definitely differently.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, describe how your individualized memorial poems and your milestone poems actually work. Just tell us about them.
How it's gone so far is that I have an intuitive sense about people a lot of times, and I'll get a kind of a picture in my mind about a theme to write about, and then I'll write about it, and it turns into a poem for them. And there was one in particular that I'd like to read if we have time, where I had actually a vision of this lady reaching out to her husband who's already passed on when she was in her hospital bed in her room. And I wrote a poem about them together collectively, but turns out that really happened, and I didn't realize it till after I wrote the poem. The thing about the memorial poems is that it's about the soul of the person. The soul of the person, and that's what gets lost. When you go to a funeral, you get a birth date, a death date, and why they died. That's not enough to remember a person. That person deserved to be honored. And a poem, which is more than words, it's about your soul and what you're living for and what you live for.
Well, Joy, I really believe in the moment, and I would like you to read that poem.
Okay. This one's called Always. This couple was so intricately connected, I had to write about them together, even though one had already passed on. Lloyd and Lorraine, sitting in the middle of the pew at church, like always. Lloyd with a silly, ornery grin, and Lorraine so sweet, kind, and gracious, and interested in anyone she spoke with. Holding hands, they held gentle, sweet gestures on their face every time old hymns played. Their presence alone, they could have been any age or ageless, wholesome and untainted, faithful and inseparable, their souls intricately sewn together with the strongest thread. The magnetic gaze between them created a force only two pure hearts could create, a purpose as important as eating and shelter, to give their hearts to the sick, to bring a bubble of solace to families, a safe place to recharge, rethink, and let go. Others gave advice. They simply gave faith, love, and presence at the hardest times. They brought the gift of joy with them to replace the sorrow. And they brought themselves, each a gift to the other, and both together a gift to their world. The church service over, Lloyd held out his hand to Lorraine, and she reached out to him. They went home together like always, and always they will be home together.
Wow. Now, your poet, that's beautiful, Joy. Your poetry readings, how does this describe the effect of on families with this?
Well, the effects that I've had with the families I've given poetry to, this poem in particular was read at the funeral, and it was a way to express the love of this couple in a way that stories could tell, but this is something where it's separate from the family, but something that really portrays their story, and you feel it deep inside yourself. That's what poetry does. I've had people where I've given them a poem that's really short. It's just what I thought of the person who passed away. It was special to me. And it opened themselves up to grieve, some of them. I have one gentleman who's still reading his poem almost a year and a half, 2 years later, after his wife died. And it's helping him actually heal from his grief. He reads it daily. And it's simply a tangible way for people to kind of see the progress of their emotion through the grief process. If you don't have something tangible, it's really hard to identify where you are emotionally.
Completely understood. Now, you were inspired by poetry therapy and poetry therapists. Explain what this is and the history behind it.
I found out after I created this Path to Joy poetry concept that poetry therapy is an actual field of study. And it's actually a postgraduate study for licensed counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, etc. And there's a National Association of Poetry Therapy. You can look up on the internet if you want more information. But these people do basically what I'm doing. They help people who with chemical dependency, with eating disorders, with they help cancer patients work through their grief of going through a terminal illness or a chronic illness. But the important thing is poetry therapists and people doing what I'm doing do one thing. We use poetry as a healer. Poetry is the healer. And a lot of people also call it poem making. It can be the people with these ailments actually writing the poem, or us helping them facilitate the writing of a poem, or using previously published poetry that relates to their situation to help them move through the grief process.
And is that where poetry intervention comes in?
Yes.
Is that what that means?
Actually, I've started calling what I do applied poetry intervention, because it really isn't intervening. Since I'm not a licensed therapist, I cannot call myself a poetry therapist, but essentially I am an artist and a longtime geriatric professional I've had a history in my career in geriatrics to intervene as an advocate and a guide for the journey ahead for chronically and terminally ill seniors. So one of the tools I use to help map out that journey is poetry, and it has been so powerful and healing for the people I've helped so far.
Well, Joy, we are going to talk about a little bit more about your Path to Joy poetry and workshops when we get back. And this is Aging Info Radio. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
I'm Seattle Sutton, founder of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. There's only one bottom line in weight loss, and that is you take in a certain number of calories, and when you wear off more calories than that, you lose weight. Fad diets just don't work. Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating works because we serve you what you should eat for the rest of your life. If anybody calls and asks, "Do you guarantee I will lose weight?" You know what? We play no games. We tell them that if they order the 1,200 calorie plan and don't lose weight, they're either laying there in a coma not wearing off calories, or they're cheating, because that's a fact. People appreciate that Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating tells it like it is. There are no gimmicks, no contracts to sign. Find us on the internet at seattlesutton.com. For more information and your nearest location, call Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating day or night. Call toll-free 800-442-DIET. That number again is 800-442-4444. 442-DIET. Call now. You'll be glad you did.
Have you lost money in the stock market? You didn't have to lose a dime if you knew what Tim Frisbee of Wealthcare Consultants, located in Oak Brook, Illinois, calls the Silver Bullet Strategy. With the Silver Bullet Strategy, you could have doubled your money these past 10 years without risk and never pay taxes on your profits. To learn more, call today 800-213-8469. That number again, 800-213-8469. You and your money will be glad you did.
Are you facing nursing home costs that Medicare no longer covers? Are you worried you cannot continue to pay $5,000 to $8,000 a month? Our free 21-page report, Medicaid Secrets Revealed, exposes the truth about qualifying for nursing home benefits without spending down your life savings. Call 800-213-8469 for your free report. That's 800-213-8469. Or visit MedicaidStrategy.com. That's MedicaidStrategy.com.
After my dad passed away, Mom's health started to quickly decline, and being left alone was too risky for her. Was she eating right, taking her medicine? What if she fell?
We thought about moving her into our spare bedroom to avoid a nursing home.
Mom wouldn't have it. She said she felt like a burden. But most of all, she didn't want to leave the home she and Dad had built together.
Our neighbor Judy had gone through something similar with her parents just a few months ago. And she told me about Suburban Home Care. A licensed certified caregiver helped her mother prepare meals, bathe and dress, but most importantly, kept her company.
I called Suburban Home Care that afternoon. They came into my mother's home for a free, no-obligation consultation. She was relieved to be able to stay at home, and I was relieved that we were able to provide the professional care she needed, thanks to Suburban Home Care.
Because you care, choose Suburban Home Care.
For more information, call 630-964-9000. That's 630-964-9000. Or visit them on the web at suburbanhomecare.com.
Welcome back to Aging Info Radio, and Suburban Home Care is a veteran-owned agency who has been providing in-home care to seniors and disabled adults since 1995 for the Chicagoland area. They carefully select and employ only experienced certified nursing assistants and certified home health aides to ensure your family's peace of mind and are bonded, insured, and licensed through the Illinois Department of Public Health. Suburban Home Care is a proud member of the National Private Duty Association, the Illinois Home Care and Hospice Council, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For a free, no-obligation assessment or other information, please call 630-964-9000. Once again, that's Suburban Home Care at 630-964-9000. And I have a caller on the line by the name of Hello Star.
Hi, how are you?
And your last name is Star. Let me see if I get this right, McAleese.
That's correct.
How are you today? Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I hear that you enjoy kind of work in sync a little bit with the workshops.
Mostly, basically, what we've been doing together is Joy is the creative force. I am the graphic designer.
Oh.
So we have put together our two companies to really help the elderly and the people that have passed on. And it's just been a wonderful partnership, and I just want to thank Joy so much for what she does.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. And Joy, would you like to say hello to Star?
Thank you, Star. Hello.
Hi.
I appreciate you as well.
Enjoying so much what you're saying in your poem just brought tears to my eyes.
Absolutely.
It's well, honest soul stuff. That's what it's all about, is being honest with our emotions. I'm glad you got teary-eyed, Star. It's important to grieve.
Well, I appreciate your listenership, and we're going to continue on unless you would like to let us know anything else.
No, I think she's doing a great job. Thanks, Joy, and thank you for doing what you do.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Star. Now, before we go on to Path to Joy Poetry and Workshop, what populations do you serve?
Actually, my current focus for my memorial poems is anyone and everyone who's lost a loved one wants to honor them. Star and I actually recently just did a memorial poem for a CEO in Dallas who recently passed away, and she inspired thousands of people around the country in her company. So that's just one example. It's not just about family. It's about friends. It's about people you just respect, and it's a great idea for a gift that a family will keep, even if it's an acquaintance. As far as the workshops, my focus currently is people with dementia, which is my passion, helping caregivers get through the stress of caregiving and people who are bereaved and lost loved ones. And through the workshops, I help them basically, just what my business says, get on the path to joy. They may not be there yet, but how do we get on there and keep moving forward at their own pace?
I would like you to describe the different approaches that you use or you can use with poetry and persons with various levels of dementia.
Okay, sure. With various levels of dementia, we can do a number of things. People think, oh, well, they have dementia. They can't remember it anyway. Why would you do something like that? Well, in the moment, their world is everything. People with early dementia, we can really focus on the grief they have of losing their memory. And that's something I think a lot of people don't think about. There's grief with losing your memory. It's about, we can write together to get the feelings of grief out so they can focus on what do they want, what kind of legacy and what kinds of things do they want to accomplish before they get to the point where they can't remember where they are in time and place. So with early dementia, it's about helping them through the grief of losing their memory and maybe work doing things for their family to help them, you know, showing them appreciation or stories for the loved ones before they lose their memory. Mid-stage dementia, when people are not oriented to place and time, we can talk about sensory ideas, things that, like we can read poetry with people with mid-stage dementia, and they're like normal people at that moment. They can actually talk about the topic within the poetry and how it relates to their life, but yet they don't know if they ate dinner or not. So it's about tapping into that part of them that's still there, that creative part of them that can still be profound. With end-stage dementia, even if someone can no longer speak anymore, we can still tap into that soul of that person. It's about sensory stimulation, using different words from their past or their history, and then seeing in their eyes what draws them, and then writing words down on paper and see if they react positively, and then working a poem up around those words and giving it to the family, and also maybe awakening something in that person, even for a moment.
Well, I would like you have another poem that you brought to my attention on dementia. Are you open to reading that one too?
Sure. I've worked with a few groups of dementia clients, and it's been just a beautiful emotional journey for me doing this. And basically what I do is I get ideas about a topic from each participant in the group and put all of their ideas in poetry form, and we all contribute together to what the poetry is like. This is was written by a group, actually, of primarily early-onset people with dementia, most of whom were in their 50s and 60s when they were diagnosed. And this is about the holidays and how they feel about the holidays. I didn't do anything wrong this year. Santa's going to come. I sit in front of a toasty fire. Sinatra belts out, Merry Christmas, everyone. We bundle up with hat and glove. The dog's whole body wags with joy. He tries to ice skate in the yard, and we declare, what a good boy. We drive to the tree farm. Snow glistens in the sun, and it glows. We walk through the firs and smell, that soothing, refreshing smell of evergreen. I did have a guy in the group who gave me all the sound effects, by the way. We throw the tree on top of the car, and really sappy on my hands and sticky too. A large grin on my face. I know family is coming to stay for the holiday. We struggle to bring in the tree. Needles fall everywhere. We don't care. Cider fills the air. Sugar cookies still hot from the oven, popping. We put them on the plate. Smells of pumpkin pie and cinnamon. For Santa, these await. The men sit in the den watching football games. The children shaking packages, frantic anticipation until tomorrow morn. The kids put on their jammies. They yawn with sparkles of joy in their eyes while sitting on the rug. The families come together, bonds together, while Grandpa pours the glug. The snowflakes gently fall. The kids go up to bed. The embers wane in the fireplace, and we all start to nod our heads. We think back of our night of cheer, playing cards, playing children, eating holiday treats, and drinking wine and beer. Family together as we once were thankful for another year. Now, one thing I want to tell you is I think all of us were probably had a picture in my head of what this is like, and every single participant contributed this. When I read, for example, the dog's whole body wags with joy, the guy who had the dog that wags his tail all the time, he lit up like a Christmas light. When I put these sound effects, that guy was like, yes, that's mine. But everybody took ownership of this, and in the end, when we read it together, we all had a wave of emotion, and we all felt closer somehow. How it happens, I don't know, but it was really a beautiful experience to see these people all laughing at the end, knowing that they all were a part of this process.
Oh, that's so great, Joy. Now, in your path to joy, when you started it as a way to cope and cope with and move forward with the grief process. Now, can you expand on what your grief landscape, seascape, or escape concept is?
Yes. I think what makes poetry really special versus just talking in reality about emotion is that it creates a picture in your mind, and it puts you in a place. And if you're in a place, you're going to go somewhere else at some point. So that's what I'm talking about with the grief landscape, seascape, or escape concept. You can either imagine your emotion in a landscape. Maybe you're in a really hard time and you imagine yourself in a desert and you're really thirsty. Or maybe you're aimlessly on a boat in the ocean, or escape. Maybe you just want to go to a safe place where you think it's really safe. I have a friend who always goes to this beautiful meadow with a bench and sits there when she needs to get away from the stress in life. So what I've done is I actually did this with a lady. I wrote her a poem because her husband died. She was overwhelmed as a caregiver. She was felt really guilty, and she wanted to put all these locks on her house. Well, all of a sudden, I wrote a poem about this boat going into the sunset and how, you know, so I said, why don't you go on the boat to the sunset? That's a thing that you really enjoy doing. And after that, she was safe on that boat when her family stressed her out about grieving and grieving on time and all this stuff. She took all the, she didn't put any of the locks on her house. She found out she was just frustrated emotionally about them telling her what to do with her grief. And so her seascape was her solace, and it helped her move forward to ask for help from a hospice bereavement professional and get her, take care of her own needs for a change.
That's great. Now, how does that approach differ with persons with dementia, caregivers, or persons who are bereaved?
Well, it basically, it's different for everyone because they all have different thought processes. With caregivers, we'll focus on maybe the stress of the caregiving, the guilt, issues like that. With people who are bereaved, we're probably going to focus on their loved one, what they loved about them, what they feel bad about, not doing regret, and other things like that. As far as people with dementia, they're always going through grieving, and it's usually that they can't go home or something like that. Even if they're living at a house, they're not home where they are in their mind. So it's all about what have these people lost, and how do we get them back on the path where they feel like they found, quote-unquote, home again. In essence, that's the same, but the approach is definitely different for each one. For example, caregivers and bereaved people can actually write poetry, maybe with the help of me as a facilitator. A person with dementia can't, but I can facilitate that to get the words out and then have their family work with them through their true emotions they're expressing to me.
This sounds very healing for all those involved. What's in the cards for the future of Path to Joy Poetry? Workshops, your retreats?
Mm-hmm. Retreats. One of the main reasons I started this business, and it was solely to help people, of course, and to help them heal their grief. But what better than to have a retreat in the mountains or at the ocean where they can really feel the power of nature calming them and getting away from their stressful environment? It's about meditating in nature, putting it down on paper, and just refreshing and renewing themselves. Also, really developing my memorial poetry, milestone poetry. I mean, it can go beyond grief, remembrance, birthdays, anniversaries, bar mitzvahs, retirement, military service, thank yous. It can be anything. And to me, that is so inspiring to me, to give people a gift of words that they can share with hundreds of people if they want. And again, it might heal their grief as well. So that's something I really want to develop and do better.
Well, Joy, I can hear it in your voice. You are very passionate about what you do. And our show is, we're running out of time, but I would like you to give us your tip of the day.
My tip of the day is money should not be your first priority when it comes to doing what you love. follow your passion, and that will lead you back. That will lead you to joy, not just get you on the path to joy. It will lead you to joy. Follow what you love. Do what you love. Don't let anything get in the way with that. And trust me, the money will follow.
That's great advice. And I just want to say it's really great that Joy and Star are working together. Well, I'd like to thank both of my guests today, Miriam Campbell, the Director of Market Development for VITAS Innovative Hospice Care. Their number is 800-93-VITAS or 800-938-4827. And their website is vitas.com. And Joy Cornelius Klein, your personal guide on your path back to joy. And Joy's number is 630-200-2554. And Joy's website is pathtojoypoetry.com. Thank you to my listeners today, especially with the topics we discussed. They're never easy. And remember to appreciate and seize every day the best that you can, because tomorrow is never guaranteed. And as you move on down the road, may your family respect you, your friends accept you, and your angels protect you always. Thank you to my sponsors, WJJG AM 1530, and Jim, my most awesome programmer. Aging Info Radio will be back next Thursday, and you make it a great day. On an American goodbye note, I believe it is all of our responsibility to take care of our seniors, many of whom are the foundation of our country, and may their strength and dedication be passed on for generations to come.
See the moon roll across the stars. See the seasons turn like a heart. Your father's days are lost to you. This is your time here to do what you will do. Your life is now. Your life is now. Your life is now. In this undiscovered moment, lift your head up before the crowd. We could shake this world if you would only show. Take the high road if you could choose. Do you believe you're a victim of a great compromise? 'Cause I believe you change your mind and change your lives. Your life is now. Your life is now.
AM 15.